Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Today, we have a very special guest, Ionis, for those of you who might know him from the community.
Ionis has done a tremendous number of maps out there, quite a few for AD, Arcane Dimensions, and we're going to chat with him about some of his releases like Der Wanderer Über dem Sauermeer.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah.
Yes, okay, thank you. And and we're just going to talk about how he got into mapping and into Arcane Dimension and maybe what's coming up next.
We're also going to be talking to him about what it's like to map living in an exotic place.
And speaking of cats and dogs, we might even...
I was just going to say, dude, I was making sure that came through. Hey, dude, come on. We're trying to record. Get out of here.
Get
out of here. He's feisty.
And finally, we'll hear a little bit about the giant creatures he lives with.
'96. I was about 13 years old at the time, and I hadn't played much in the way of computer games. I went over to one of my friend's house, and he was playing Quake, and he showed me it. I'm like, this is amazing. He actually showed me Shub-Niggurath first. I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess this is like a mid-level enemy? Okay, cool. And then when I played, I'm like, wait, that's the final boss? It doesn't do anything? I good. I digress. I enjoyed it. I played the maps to death. I didn't have an internet connection. I didn't even know about custom maps until I got an internet connection 6 years later. And I'm like, wow, people make their own maps. Great. People make their own maps? I'm in. And I tried unsuccessfully for 5 years, made utter crap, grew frustrated, gave up. Then I returned 6 years later and discovered that... adulthood had somehow made me good at mapping somehow. I don't know how that works, but I was actually able to finish things for a change, and people actually liked it. So it gave me motivation to continue to do so. And my unoriginal, rather unexcitingly architectural maps have kind of caught on, and it's my style. I use a lot of 45-degree angles. I don't have... hugely unique ideas, but I think you'd call my style solid, and it works for me, and I have fun with it.
Yeah, I was going to say that one thing is, I always know when I'm playing an Ionis level, you know, because I'm like, verticality, and a lot of surprises around each corner and things like that, and also very, a very solid aesthetic. I know you pick your theme and you stick to it, and you're very rigid about that. But I have a follow up to your intro there. Now, did you ever start with any kind of multiplayer stuff, or did you always do single player?
Always single player. Just because I was on a 56K modem for a while. And I popped into deathmatch and the lag just killed me. And I'm like, this is not very fun. I prefer playing against AIs that actually run at a normal frame rate. And even when I did get a good internet connection and I tried playing deathmatch, I'd die within 2 seconds before I even got shots off. And I'm like, well, my skill level is so poor that this isn't any fun. So I'm out. Give me the single player all the time.
So Ionis, I gotta ask, when did you start making maps? Because you said you started out and you weren't happy with what you did.
I started in 2002 about. I cycled through all the editors. Deathmatch Maker was so bad I almost stopped mapping for a short while. You couldn't align, even on like 32 unit scales, you couldn't like align your brushes to the grid. It was a terrible editor. I cycled through them. I did like Worldcraft. I just, I made a terrible 100 brush map that was called by one reviewer as the ugliest map I've seen since '96.
I almost took it as a badge of honor. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I was frustrated. I was seeing people like Thean and CCG put out these breathtaking, intricately architectural maps. And I'm like, I struggle to make two square rooms. You know, what's going on? And yeah, I gave up for like 6 or 7 years. And I only came back because I saw when Sock ran Map Jam 1. I'm like, you know what? I haven't tried it in a little while. Let's try to pump something out. It appears that there's no standard for quality, so I can produce something bad and no one will care.
And that, you know, and RC, I'll tell you the irony of that. If I'm not mistaken, that's a probable carcinogen, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. So RC, that's my, I got it. I'm not just saying this because Ionis is our guest. That's one of my favorite. I mean, it's definitely in the top five of my favorite custom maps. Now, that being said, you know, I haven't played everything, but that map really kicked the shit out of me. So I love wow. that map. And that's really ironic that that was your return to mapping after the failure. I think you're just being humble maybe, but.
No, I do have to add a caveat. During the process of making it, I was probably about seven. My part was done, and I couldn't find any. There was a leak that was killing me. I couldn't fix it. I'm like, whatever, I give up. And MFX like came in off the top rope and is like, "Hey, no, I'll help you. Hold on, send it to me."
And that's good. It was a good
He's like, "I really like this. Can I add to it?" So it ended up being like a 50-50 collaboration.
But that's fine. Cool. Your 50% was pretty kick-ass.
Thank you. And when I saw what he had done with it, like the things that he had done, I'm like, this is fantastic. Could I do something like this? Let's push this further. And yeah, I think you can almost give credit to MFX for continuing me going, because if I hadn't finished that map, I don't know if I would have bothered continuing.
Well, thank you, MFX.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from 2002, when you started, you said you did what? Just a couple maps and you kind of quit. What was the reason why you quit? Like, what was the main reason you were mapping? And was it the actual final release, or was there something that just wasn't clicking with you?
It wasn't clicking. I think the last thing I produced before I gave up was something for the Lost Chapters, a pack that Kel organized in 2006. And yeah, after that, I left college and started working full time. And yeah, I got more into writing than level design, and I was a lot more proficient at writing. So I said, let's do something I'm actually good at. I'm tired of beating my head against the wall.
So now are you even prose writing, like short fiction or novel?
I mostly wrote fan fiction. I'm ashamed to admit, not really, but I know there's a stigma with it being ultra nerdy, whatever. I bear that flag proudly.
My Little Pony or what?
What? I'm sorry, what?
Was it My Little Pony? Because, I mean, it just depends on what it is.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter and King Kuro Chronicle, and mixed it in with some Stephen King stuff.
I'm down with all that stuff. That's great. That's very
cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I had some good times with it. I probably produced close to about 500,000 words of stuff. But then when Map Jam 1 came up, writing was starting to become a little bit of a hassle. So naturally, as I just gravitate towards the thing that comes to me easier, I only have a limited amount of free time. So I kind of want to try to maximize it. And when the map bloomed, I'm like, well, this is easier and I'm having more fun with it and I get a lot better feedback. You know, let's keep on doing this.
Yeah. And it's really tangible too. You have a kind of initial idea. And I know you sketch out your levels on paper most of the time or a good amount of the time. And then you kind of run with that. And it is really tangible. You have something to show, and especially something that someone can enjoy after the fact, which is really rewarding. And when you write, you just put it out there and you really can't experience what the readers experience. You've already had your experience by writing it. So.
Yeah. As when you're writing on the internet, you kind of depend, like say I release my probable carcinogen. Daz does a playthrough that streams it. I have people reacting to it real time, and there's actually genuinely joy and awe, and that makes you feel pretty good. When you're writing and just releasing stuff into the ether, you kind of depend on reviews. And I think I had a story out that had like 300,000 views and like less than like, I think less than one, like 0.5% review rate. And I'm like, well, no one seems to appreciate this. So wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of, it doesn't exactly motivate you to continue when the Quake community, the players are generally very generous in letting you know what's going on, sending you their appreciation. There's I think there's pretty good camaraderie and community, and it forever inspires me, I guess you'd say.
That's great, though. Yeah, I definitely agree with that in more ways than one, not just with mapping, but also the videos I produce. You know, people are going to let me know immediately if it's something they like or don't like, which is it's really nice to get that immediate feedback.
Oh, yeah. I always, whenever I release a map, I'm always watching your Twitch. I'm like, okay, when's he playing? I want to see my map played. I want to see him die countless times.
So for what Dump Truck was telling me, that you are actually located in a pretty cool place. Where is it that you live?
Ah, yes. I live in Hawaii right now. I live on the west coast of Oahu. Yeah, middle of the Pacific, the most desolate landmass on the planet. Yeah, I don't have many complaints about it. It's a nice place. Wow. Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Massachusetts. I expected to... live my entire life there. I love Massachusetts. I still love it. My heart is still there. But no, a job opportunity came out here in Hawaii, and my wife was born out here, and she doesn't handle winter too well. Whenever there's ice on the ground, she's like Bambi in the winter. So when there was a opportunity, she's the one who actually found it. She's like, apply out here, apply out here. I kind of just applied just to get her to leave me alone, and they called me back later that day. Hey, you want to come out for an interview? Okay.
That's pretty amazing, though, to go from Massachusetts to Hawaii. Not only is it a really far move, but just like you said, the seasonal thing is just, it's a huge change.
I got to say, it's pretty nice to be able to wear shorts year round.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
In Massachusetts, you might get 4 or 5 months if you are willing to risk a little frostbite.
Yep, I'm definitely jealous of that. Actually, at a young age, I lived in Massachusetts for probably 2 years. We were living over in Worcester.
Oh, Worcester, Mass. Right near the Palladium.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah. It's a great area, though, Massachusetts. You know, Boston is great, such a great town. But Hawaii, can't go wrong, man.
No, you can't. I mean, I love Massachusetts, you know. I mean... I still follow all my teams religiously. It's actually convenient. I was able to do this because there's no Patriots game on right now. So we're good. We're good. We're going to clear Sunday.
I was going to say, are there any Celtics games tonight? But I don't follow the Celtics. Go Lakers.
Oh, harsh.
It hurts. No, they played yesterday. They beat up on the Pistons. So much for their 4-1 start. Ran into the Boston blockade.
Boom! I'm a big Kyrie Irving fan, so I will eventually get. I won't just wait till the Lakers play.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I will enjoy. You know, I love the NBA. I don't even care. I watch like I probably follow like 4 different teams. So, but the you know, Lakers. Come on, I'm from Huntington Beach. I'm down south of LA, and I grew up watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael, not Michael Jordan, Magic. And
Kobe, Magic, yeah.
Kobe Bryant. So. You got to talk about the dogs. Ionis, we got to hear about the dogs.
Ah, the dogs, the puppies. Yeah, that's, it was funny. My, I'm allergic to dogs and cats, all that shit. So when we just got married, we're like, okay, we're going to move into a bigger place. My wife says, we need a dog. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll get a dog. She's like, what kind of dog you want? She's like, well, I want either a Chihuahua or a Great Dane.
I'm like, wow.
I'm like, I ain't walking a fucking Chihuahua. Okay, we'll get a Great Dane. And there was a breeder down in Connecticut. Yeah, we picked her up at 2 weeks old, our Daphne. When we got her, I think she was 5 pounds. Now she's 140. 7 years old. She's our baby, our little diva prima donna. And yeah, we brought her out here from Massachusetts out to Hawaii, and we adopted a second dog, a little Dane. She's only like 100 pounds, Dixie, and she's our fucking psycho. She runs around constantly. She rides Daphne like a I don't know, like she thinks Daphne's a horse or something. She'll go a minute without her front legs touching a pod, just riding her. She's agile, impressive. Her top speed, I think she has like the speed of a cheetah when she runs. I took her on a hike up Cocoa Head, which is kind of like a very, very steep hill. She scaled a 6-foot wall in a single leap.
Whoa.
I was like, hey, I climbed up. I'm like, okay, let's see. How can I get you up here? She just jumped up there. I'm like, oh, okay, that made it easy. Yeah, but they're good. Yeah,
you've streamed mapping, and it's pretty funny because sometimes you'll take a break, or, you know, go grab a sandwich or whatever, or take care of something, and the dogs will be in the background of the stream and kind of looking at the camera, or, you know, jumping on furniture. Very entertaining.
Well, I know people are there for the dogs, so I got to give the people what they want. So yeah, I'll just switch to live video, and then rather just leave my desktop open and nothing happening, and people seem to enjoy that. And
it's true though, because whenever I stream on YouTube, it's like no one's there for me. They're there for either Sushi or Quake. So it's
I think it's mostly Sushi. Sushi's a star.
Yeah, I think so too.
And she knows, I don't remember. She knows that whenever you're streaming, meow, meow, meow.
I know. It's either sleeping or howling. It's just like, oh my God, dude.
There's no in between.
Nope.
Yeah, we out in Hawaii. I was able to buy a house because it's kind of in a low income district. It's a nice place, but this district is kind of low income. There's been some break in the areas, not much, but if someone even farts in the direction of our house, barks a thunder ring out. We've never had a problem.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great.
That's what you want.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely earn their keep.
I was going to say, are they earning their keep or what? That's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My
dog only wakes up when I go to the kitchen.
Right. Food time, right?
Exactly. He hears that cheese wrap. He's deaf, but, you know, he's 16. And he's deaf. He hears the cheese wrapper.
Oh, Daphne won't get up if she hears a bark. She'll just, if she hears someone in front, she'll start barking. She only gets up if I'm in the kitchen or something. But, yeah. Yeah. It's a Pavlovian trigger. Do I hear plastic crinkling? Maybe they'll give me food.
Yeah, it's got some American cheese in there.
Surely you can spare some, good sir. Although she should fucking know by now that I only give dogs dog food, but ever the optimist is she.
Yeah, that's part of life, though. Never give up, right?
That correct. Can-do spirit.
So let's talk about the elephant in the mapping room, Arcane Dimensions. So you were part of Arcane Dimensions. Can you walk us through how you got involved with that and just go with it?
Oh, certainly. For Map Jam 6, I released a kind of not so great map because it was half finished. I'm a snail mapper. I'm extremely slow, so I rarely finish anything in a timely fashion. Out of the blue, Sock actually messaged me. He's like, hey, he said it more polite because he is generally polite. He's like, hey, I see that your map is not quite finished. I'm putting together a mod. Would you have any interest in maybe sprucing up your map and adding it to Arcane Dimensions? And I was kind of honored because at the time, I think on the roster was Sock, Lunar, and Scampi and MFX, and that's kind of like a murderer's row of quality Quake mappers. I'm like, if you put our five names together, one sticks out like a sore thumb. But
you say that now, but you know, your participation at this point is just like, you know, legendary, really.
Yeah. No, back at that point, I hadn't released much, but yeah, he said, hey, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, sure. And it was a blast. I worked pretty close with Sock. He helped me out a lot. He offered a lot of gameplay suggestions and architectural suggestions. The guy's got a mind for architect. Like, it's like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind with architecture and stuff. And he helped me out a lot. And I went back and forth to help develop it. And towards the end, where there were 2 weeks left, he's like, hey, I'm looking for more maps. Maybe you want to make a quick DM remake? And I was able to bang something out in 2 weeks. By far the fastest I've ever finished a full map. I'm still kind of in disbelief that I finished it in 2 weeks. And
Which one did you do? If you remind me.
DM5. It was a Honey-styled DM5 remake that did not bear much resemblance to the original, but I thought it came out pretty good. And
yeah, it was quite a map, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. And that went well. And then after that, he's like, we're doing another release. Do you want in? He actually made the suggestion, do you want to work with someone else? You know, maybe work with, I forget if he said, maybe you should ask Pulsar if he wants to collaborate. All this stuff flows from Sock. So I talked to Pulsar. He said, yeah, let's do a map. And I think every day for 9 months, we passed a file back and forth. We both used a Jack editor, so it was simple. And we're 12 hours opposite one another. So we just sent it back every day, worked on it slowly, and yeah, that's how Leptis Magna came into existence.
But that is such an epic map, too. That's like a Michael Bay movie kind of map. You know what I mean?
It really is.
With the explosions to match.
Yes, exactly. And I do remember, you know, I remember the first time I played that, and I've played it I played it like 1.5 times. So I did finish it, and it was like, oh God.
I need a breather.
And then, yeah, and then a few months, not too long ago, I fired it up. Just to kind of steal ideas from your architecture.
steal away.
Yeah, of course. That's how it works. But yeah, and it, you know, it is so epic. You know, you just go, God damn, what a work. You know, so you know, well deserved that you're on the AD team. I mean, it's such a mystery to mappers because, you know, Sock is kind of over there, kind of sequestered. And I'm sure there's a form of communication you guys use. That's efficient and private and everything. It's just like, we always wonder, like, cause Sock goes, you know, that's the last release. And then it's like, well, come around Christmas time. We should have a new, what? Wait, there's more? Cool.
Yeah, great. Things change. You know, maybe you have a few ideas and you're like, you know, yeah, I kind of want to do something now. So yeah, things are subject to change.
And that's fine. I think people want more AD rather than less of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of AD. There's so many things that you can do with it. I find it very intuitive to use. Granted, I had my private support system in Sock at least once a day. How does this work? So that was helpful to me. But yeah, no, I was proud to be on a team with other quality mappers. So yeah, it was a good experience. Very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I got to say, I played through Leptis Magna during one of my playthroughs on the channel, and it was one of those maps, I think. When I played Arcane Dimensions, there was definitely sort of a, I don't know if you want to say, transformation in my play style from when I started it to the end of the whole pack. And I feel like that map, when I think about it, was one of the driving points for me for realizing and being more self-aware, like, of my surroundings, you know? But it was just crazy because there were so many things that happened around you, you know, with the walls breaking down, enemies busting through, and so many great events. And that map was hands down one of my favorites from the whole pack. So I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I noticed an early problem that I had in my maps that they were said to be rather static, like the environment never changed. So maybe I overcompensated for that in my portions of Leptis Magna. I'm like, how can we make an area change each time you pass through it, you know, subtly or not so subtly with, you know, explosions everywhere, change it. So, yeah, I guess that was a lesson learned, me trying to make the environment actually more interactive.
And I can't say, I don't think you overdid it. I think if you compare it to other Quakers maps, you know, maybe that is the case. But when I was playing through that, I was super impressed with the fact that, like, no matter where you were around every corner, there was going to be something happening and it would change the way the map actually flowed. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because one thing that I actually learned this from fans, APSP3, Subterranean Library, I think he was the first one to use breakables to change your path of progression. And I thought that was a really neat idea. I'm like, why aren't more people using this? Because mostly you use doors, mostly just doors, and to kind of change progression and open up paths. I'm like, oh, let's explode holes in walls. You know, it's changing it up a little.
Yeah, and they're really fantastic set pieces in that map as well. So let me switch gears just a little bit, still staying on mapping. But you know, I noticed that you seem I could be wrong, but you seem to always have like a goal in mind with a particular project. So I know that DM4, you were going for 45 degrees, or you know, circular kind of construct, that kind of stuff, and I think it was pretty successful. How do you come up with those, and what are some of the successes that you've had? Like, hey, I want to try this, and then at the end of the map when it's released, how do you judge your success?
To me, to start at the end and move backwards, if I finish something, I generally consider it a success. Like this degree, sure, there's stuff that I could have improved. There's always stuff you can improve, always stuff you can do better, but if I finish something, that means I had enough ideas to make it to an end point. So that I generally, I guess I have a low barrier for success. I do kind of start with architectural concepts sometimes, like DM4. A lot of maps just start with me playing around with architecture. I don't have a specific goal. I'll just start playing around with something. Like in the DM4 map, I started with a central area, the lava and the platform suspended above it all in a circular pattern, because I didn't know if you could make a map using a 24-sided cylinder, because I thought when you started to cut down the individual pieces that it might, everything I make has to be on grid, because I don't know, I need everything to be on grid. I guess I've got a graph paper mind. So when I saw that I could wrap 16-unit pieces around a 24-sided cylinder, I'm like, okay, maybe I have something here. So it kind of just bloomed outwards, and somehow I ended up with a map. But yeah, it's a lot of times what I'll do is I'll start with one room. I'll detail it. If I can nail down an architectural style, that's the major part of the battle. Usually I can expand from that point if I've got at least one room down.
Yeah, and I will say you were joking about turtle mapping earlier, but you're really kicking out maps these days. I mean, you made two for Progs Dump, just the test levels, which were kind of your test levels are things I like would aspire to make myself, and then shortly thereafter you did a speed map and a couple speed map packs. So good for you. You're getting so much faster, young man.
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on circumstance. Like generally, if I release a speed map, it means I had a day off during that time, because I do work a lot, and generally, I do my best work when I have like 4 to 6 hours of uninterrupted time. So if I produce something, generally I've had that in that time frame. If not, I try to map at least 1 hour a day, after I've come home from work, do the gym and all. But they're never terribly, terribly productive sessions. So when I produce stuff, I have days off. You can pretty much count on that.
All right, Ionis, changing gears a little bit, you know, staying on the gaming topic here, I'm always curious, other games that, you know, mappers are interested in. Can you give me one of your favorite retro games that you kind of grew up on that might have inspired you to map, and then maybe anything you might be playing that's a little bit more contemporary?
I haven't bought a game in 5 years. I've stopped playing new video games to focus on mapping, really. So sorry to disappoint you on that front. Yeah, I don't have that much free time, and I derive more joy from creating than playing. So yeah, I haven't really played any new games as of late. I loved the Resident Evil series. Until I got to 5, which the less said, the better.
It says it all.
But I've always been a fan of horror and of zombies and gore and such. So Resident Evil wrapped like all of it was a Venn diagram of everything I liked in one package. So yeah, the first three games, I loved them, played them to death. I had a playthrough of Resident Evil 3 when I beat it just using the knife. I think that's like my gameplay zenith for video games. Yeah, that tells you how much I played it. But yeah,
yeah, that's nuts, dude.
Yeah. I do like I have a Wii, and the few games that I can get my wife to play are the Super Mario Wii games. So we play those okay. every once in a while.
That's very cool. You said you're a big fan of horror. Are there typically any movies that inspire you when you're mapping, or just movies that you absolutely love that you feel like may have inspired you over the years?
Yeah, mostly like sci-fi horror. Like, I think Alien is a crowning achievement. I mean, obviously in film, but the horror of it, the alien nature, I love it. It seems so otherworldly. And yeah, it definitely the Alien trilogy. Well, okay, the first two Alien movies.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Nobody likes the third one.
Yeah,
It was really dark. I mean, you can't go too dark with something where it's not entertaining. Whereas, the first two, Alien and Aliens were so different, but they took place in the same world, and they just gave you so much. And this other movie seemed like it subtracted, and there's nobody you like. There's nobody you're rooting for. Kill these guys. Eat them. I don't care.
They're a bunch of criminals. Fuck. You used to, rooting for Hicks and Ripley, shooting their way through aliens, and you get, who's the sole survivor of Alien 3? Spoiler alert for a 20-year-old film. Horace. Oh boy, Horace made it through. Hip hip fucking. Can I swear?
Yeah, this isn't quake mapping. You can. This isn't my Discord. You can say what you'd like.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it. I never thought of that way, but yeah, 3 was a subtraction, and not a concept that I think they should have went with, but hey.
Well, that next thing you're going to say is that 4 wasn't any good either.
I mean, it had good visuals.
I'm just kidding. It's terrible.
I remember seeing it and immediately trying to strike it from my brain with a bunch of alcohol. It was depressing.
Dude, I know we killed her, but we're going to make a clone of her. That's not
brilliant. That's a good idea. Absolutely brilliant.
Can we start production today?
Well, Neil Blomkamp was really close to, being attached to another Alien picture, and I would have really been happy to see him direct one, but I guess it wasn't meant to be. So I'm not sure what the status of a new Alien picture is, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Mm.
I think they're kind of stuck on the prequels right now. That's where their intellectual property energy is focused on.
I remember Prometheus, seeing the trailer and just being so pumped and so excited. And it was really literally the biggest letdown. And it was, the movie is beautiful to look at. It is stunning.
With Ridley Scott, you're getting fantastic visuals. It's just,
oh my God.
Everything else. do you know that people can run sideways?
Yeah, I know.
I learned that from that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Afterwards, people were like, you could run away from it. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. They actually exist on a 3D plane. I mean, actually, there's a 2D plane if you're running on the ground. You can turn left and right. But
right. Yeah. This isn't Super Mario Brothers Wii. We can move.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Wii, I do want to recommend a Wii game for you. If you can only get your wife to play certain games, I have the same problem at home myself. Have you ever played Boom Blocks? B-O-O-M Blocks?
I've never heard of it.
I'm telling you, don't hesitate. Just grab it next time you get a chance, if you're at a used game store or whatever. It's a kind of imagine Jenga, right? But with a Wii, and you kind of throw... There's a bunch of different game modes, but it is so fun. And I think you can have up to 4 players, but it's a great 2-player game because you're kind of working against each other. And so you actually kind of pinch these blocks and pull them. RC, did you ever play that?
Yeah, I was. I actually got it and played it with a few friends and whatnot. And fun fact, I believe that was the first video game that Steven Spielberg had anything to do. So,
yeah, he was.
Shout out to Steven Spielberg. He needs it.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, it sounds fun. There's nothing better than a 4-player Wii game where you fight, where you can sabotage the other person, like drunken Super Mario Wii with 4 people. just devolves into throwing people into pits. Oh, it's fantastic.
Right.
All right, cool. So let's talk about the current state of Quake affairs, just switching gears yet again. You're very active in the community. I mean, you're mapping all the time. You're mapping in your spare time, but you're really good about streaming very quickly when there's a release, whether it's a speed map thing or just someone releases a map. You usually jump on there pretty quickly. So you've got a finger on the pulse of at least the mapping community.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Compared to all the time that's kind of passed since you started back up in earnest mapping, what are some of your observations about the community, the mapping community, and just some of the things that have, like, Discord's changed things quite a bit, in my opinion, because it kind of popped up, you know?
Hugely. I think the immediacy of it helps a lot of people. Funk Message Board is, I started on QMAP, but that turned into Funk Message Board. That's a really great community. There's news, so you kind of know what's going on. But Discord kind of has the immediacy where it's not quite, you know, an in-person conversation, but when you get instant feedback, I don't know. And in a world where the speed of communication has kind of become important, when you have a platform where you can reply to things immediately, have people reply to you, I think it kind of breeds a lot of productivity, because you're never going to be stuck on something. You always have someone who's going to be able to help you out, guide you with something. And I think that's helped with a lot of new mappers and with Twitch and stuff. See, I mean, I know that's how Pulsar got back into the mapping game. He saw Daz stream in one of his old maps, and he said, hey, that's right, I used to do this. And I guess his people still enjoy it, so that's how he got back into it. And I'm sure he's not alone on that front. I think Twitch and Discord helped a lot. I think the community's in a really healthy place right now. You've got a lot of people active. I feel that the environment is very encouraging in nature. I don't feel like new mappers are shunned or ridiculed for their lack of skill. I feel that they're encouraged to, there's a lot of constructive criticism. I know that's how I try to do it, because I want to try to help people become better at mapping. And I've done it a fair lot, so I think I have a good amount to say on it.
Exactly. That's like the best thing about the community, is that there is some, because we asked somebody before and they said, it's just, the community is so, helpful and encouraging, you know, and honest. You know, you're going to get honest feedback, and you're not going to just, I try to tend to kind of keep it positive, but I will say, you know, you need to do this specifically, because this is something that, okay, you know, like a texture thing, like they usually don't use that texture or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, usually don't, you know, put like five zombies, like, you know, in your spawn, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't help gameplay.
Exactly. So I try to do constructive criticism, and I know you do that, and I know there are quite a few people that do that, and I agree with you. It is getting better. The mapping community is getting better. And I did the Quake C stuff recently, and there's no way I could have done that without Discord, because I'm going right to the source. I'm going to Spike and Coburn and quite a few other people that are helping out Kraithor. And so it's amazing what this piece of technology can do for a community.
Yeah. And it seemed, I mean, I don't know how long you were working on your own progs, but it seemed like pretty quickly you came up with something that had a lot of useful stuff. Like, I don't know about a lot of people, but having to do manual teleport spawns is like the sixth circle of hell. Like, I get right to that point, I'm like, no more monster spawns. And that is wonderful.
Yeah, it took about 2 months of that, and a lot of it is copy and pasting. I can't take credit for the code, you know, part of it. But I'm definitely learning. Okay. But I just, if it was just Funk Message Board or Inside QC, I'd still be working on it. You know, I'd still be stuck on it. So, it really opened, like, people recommend, you know, Spike said, you need to learn GitHub. You know, learn Git and GitHub. And so sure enough, the next day I'm like, okay, I'll just fire up YouTube and see what the hell is Git. I know what it is, but how do I use it? What is it for? How is it going to benefit me? So it's things like that where people can instantly just say, no, this is what you need to do. And it's so helpful. And I'm super encouraged by the community. There's some things that I kind of wish that would happen. You know, like I would like to see more mods like Arcane Dimensions, like, but different things, you know, just like teams kind of, you know, join.
Yeah.
Swamp guy. You know.
Yeah, no, yeah, I can see. Yeah, definitely team projects, like pulling in different people with different skill sets, you know. I mean, we've got plenty of mappers in the community, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really dabble in the other side, so I don't know who knows what, but yeah, I'd be open to the idea of larger projects and such.
All right, Ionis, we're going to be kind of wrapping things up here. Just got a couple last minute questions for you. Do you feel there are any maps from past or you know, present contemporary maps maybe that maybe aren't getting the attention they deserve, and maybe you could throw it out there. Maybe people can go check it out.
It's hard for me to tell because since I've been around since 2002, I feel like I've played pretty much everything that's come out. And I know there's some people who've come into the community more recently, so it's hard for me to tell where the history stops. I'd say that probably the largest map and influence upon me is Zerastora. And I'm like, Zerastora, everyone's played that. But then I see new people, they're like, what's Zerastora? I'm like, wait a second. You haven't played Zerastora? Come now. So that's, in terms of older stuff that might have been overlooked, I would definitely go to Zerastora. That thing is still 16 years later. I can't do math. 20 years later, I don't know. Whatever years later, I think it still hits pretty hard, and I think it's wonderful, that atmosphere.
No, I completely agree with you, because I just played it through the first time recently, like a few months ago, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I played so much Quake online, I forget, but I completely agree with you. It holds up, and it's awesome, so definitely play that.
Yeah, I was planning to do a Zerastora episode for the 20th anniversary, but in true Ionis form, I didn't finish a single map. I've got like three in progress, but I don't know. Maybe I'll finish it by the 25th. We'll see. 2022,
that'd be awesome.
That's what we're aiming for here.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You can do it.
So, Ionis, has there ever been another game that you might want to make custom stuff for?
You know, I do enjoy Quake. I know I'm really going out on a far limb, you know, stretching my limits here. I've considered Quake 2. I probably played almost every custom single player Quake 2 map that's come out. I don't know, after just playing around with Quake 1 and using Quake Spasm and all the new Leiden tools that Eric has put out, like, I see the crappy Quake 2 Leiden, and I'm like, do I want to pour a bunch of effort into this map and have it look like junk afterwards? But yeah, if anything, it'd be Quake 2, because even though the monster design is laughable, this guy has knives for arms. How does he feed himself? Is there a machine that feeds him food? How does this being exist? This is stupid.
But it's cool.
He's got a knife and a hammer.
He's got a railgun in his elbow.
The hammer cuts it up with his other hand and just shoves the knife into his mouth and hopes he doesn't stab himself. Maybe that's how it goes.
I imagine he flings it up in the air like a piece of popcorn and catches it in his mouth.
Things are so stupid. I don't think they could catch like a roving ant.
It just keeps hitting him in the forehead like, ugh.
The mapper fan in me, now that you've said this, now I'm going to start obsessing about this, because I would love to see what you did with Quake 2. Now, I don't love Quake 2. I mean, I like every id game. I said this on the other podcast, but I would certainly download something that you created for Quake 2. So there's my vote. You know.
Well, thank you. I've heard rumor that Eric is gonna transfer his Quake Leiden tools to Quake 2. So I do have ideas for Quake 2 maps, and I would make stuff for it, but just the tools aren't there yet for me.
Yeah, and I agree too. I would probably dip my toe back into it, because I did. There are some nice things that you can do with Quake 2 that obviously you can't do with Quake 1, just with gameplay. And so that would be a and sound and all that stuff. So that would be a lot of fun. And for anybody who doesn't know who he's referring to, Eric W. is a fixture in the Quake community, and he is right now he's working primarily on Trench Broom 2, 1X, right? He's deeply involved with the development of
Yeah,
and he's stepped away from tools for about a year. It's been close to a year, but he will get back to those. And so he's really reinvigorated a lot of Quake mapping with some of these new features that are really things that the end user isn't only seeing. You know, it's under the hood stuff, basically. But I always call Eric W. like Quake MVP, because he really is.
He
swoops in and fixes things.
He really is. And something else to consider. Most of my maps, or at least half of them, may not have seen release if not for him, because I think he may have been the guy who perfected the BSP2 file format, which allows for larger maps. And with the sprawl of a lot of my projects, none of them would be able to run without his expanded Quake limits.
I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
He's a very key to the community and the getting Quake maps out, helping us do so.
He's like on every day answering super critical questions, even just for noobs. You know, it's just so great to see him involved. Anyway, RC, you've got more questions, I think, right?
Well, I think that is a good segue. Speaking of noobs, this is my final question for you, Ionis. For anybody who might be new to the community, who's looking to getting into mapping, or maybe someone who's been around who's kind of struggling with it, do you have any advice at all for these people?
Just play a lot of maps. There's nothing wrong with taking inspiration and seeing architectural ideas and how stuff is planned done. That didn't make sense. How stuff is done. And if you see some, stop by the Quake Discords, the Terrafusion Discord, see if people are streaming, drop by, see how people do it, ask questions. I know whenever people drop by my screens, streams, I like fielding questions. I like being able to help people out. There's a whole community out there who's willing to help you. So play maps, ask for help, and people will help you.
I have a question.
I think it's. Oh no, go ahead, dump truck. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt there. So Ionis, what I'd love to know is what is next for you. Like, do you have any kind of? I know you have a lot of projects, but why don't you share maybe some of your projects that are on the horizon that people can look forward to?
Currently, I'm running an event, Christmas Jam 2018. Running in air quotes since I haven't done much promotion at us all as of late. But for Christmas, I'm hoping to have a community pack out of maps taking place in 1024 cube, or if you're ball, a 10,024 cube. so I hope to have that out in December in time for Christmas.
Christmas in July. That's why you were
thinking that. Must have been what I meant. Yeah, nice. Nice.
It stopped me for a second. I was like, wait,
I have no idea where July came from. After that, I've been working on a series of deathmatch map remakes that, of course, I have none finished yet. I have a long gestate in 25,000 brush that was originally going to be part of Episode Jam I haven't finished yet. I've got a large nave map that I have to finish at some point. So it's just, I have tons of maps lying around that I have to get back to. But on the horizon is the 1024 pack. I got to finish up my second map for that.
And you did that last year as well with Pulsar, right? I think.
For the 1024 pack?
Yeah, correct, for Christmas.
I did not run the event, but I did make a map for it. I made, it was called Entomanaki, and it was done in kind of a mix of Sauk Egyptian textures and Mayan textures.
Yeah, that was a really great map. And it's all coming back to me now. It's just like old man brain here.
Just gonna kindle the fires of memory.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have an entry for that myself because I did one last year, and I had fun doing Arcane Dimensions map because I really hadn't. That was my first AD map, so I'll be hopefully contributing to.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm glad that you're participating. I thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Well, Ines, I could say I, for one, definitely looking forward to playing your future maps, and would really like to thank you for coming on the show, man.
Hey, RC Dump Truck, thank you for having me aboard. It's an honor for you to consider me important enough to ask me questions and such.
This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for DumpTruck_DS.
Of course, the
pleasure,
man.
The pleasure is the pleasure is all ours. Yeah, see, this is only our second podcast, so we're going to get tongue-tied. I just don't have enough beer in me.
There you go.
Get another beer.
You
Let's try that line again.
2 hours later, after the Lakers have lost.
Yeah, thank you.
Drinking to get through it.
I completely deserve that. So. Let's try that again. Let's try that line one more time.
Go for it.
The pleasure is our. See, I can't do it. The pleasure is uniquely ours and ours alone, Ionis.
Wow.
Ours alone.
That was profound. Perfect. I love it.
We got to exit. I've got to. I need a break.